Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here. It is my first time in Dallas, and I have been, is that up? I have been reading about this temple for the last maybe 30 years or so, but the first time that I came, I saw photos of this beautiful temple, of these deities, and so many pastimes, so many things that have happened here and are happening also. So it's very pleasurable to be here with all of you. This is a place that has a very important spot in ISKCON world, this movement, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because Srila Prabhupada came here and he established the temple, the preaching, the school, and many, many things, and also His Divine Grace, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who continued the work that Prabhupada did. Okay, so did we do chanting already? Yeah.
No,
yes, Jai Radha Madhava. Okay, thank you. So we're going to sing a very easy song, if you, some of you can follow.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Janavalava Girivara Dari Gopi Janavalava Girivara Dari Nandana Brajanjana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Brajanjana Ranjana Jamuna Piravana Chari Ravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. How many people have not read Bhagavad Gita? Everyone has read. Prabhu, honestly? Yes, thank you. Yeah, there's a gift for you. Thank you. Someone hasn't read the Bhagavad Gita. Everyone has read Bhagavad Gita. Fully? Yeah, not the whole thing. Some parts, yeah? Okay, all right. So we have two options today. One option is to present the whole Bhagavad Gita in how many minutes we have? Half an hour. 30 minutes. Or we're going to speak about something particularly from the Bhagavad Gita. Right? In regards of relationship. So I came here to do a counseling course. So we just finished 3 days of training. So that's in the tip of my tongue. So any suggestions? We can cover or try to cover Bhagavad Gita in 30 minutes. It's like a challenge. All right? Or we can talk about how to spiritualize our relationships in Krishna consciousness from the Bhagavad Gita. Suggestions, Prabhu. Okay, that's an option, right? So, is that agreed? You know, democratic? Yes. Okay, cool. Okay, so let's discuss relationships from the perspective of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, it's a conversation that takes place in Kurukshetra, battlefield, conflict, violence, war. And Krishna plays the role of the counselor, supreme counselor. And this is a situation that we face in life. We are in trouble and we ask for help. And you go to somebody. What's your problem? What's your issue? We all have some problem, some issue that we have to deal with. Yes or no? Yes? Most probably. Quite often. Yeah? Okay, so Krishna spoke for around an hour. Oh, that's what the scriptures say. That for around an hour or so, he explained different things from the Bhagavad Gita. So I was thinking that we can do a bit of a marathon and we can concise even half an hour Gita. What are the main points, the teachings? But since you verbalize, you express that you want to address issues of relationship from the Krishna conscious perspective. So let's do that. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is presenting himself to Arjuna. All right? He's doing a few things. Let me just, since we won't have the chance to summarize the whole Bhagavad Gita, I'm going to say three things about the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, we learn about who we are. That's our identity. There are 18 chapters. 18 divided into 3? 6. Each of these 6 chapters, or each of these sections of the Bhagavad Gita, talk about one specific point, teaching, lesson, message for us. The first one, chapter 1 to 6, talks about us, you and I. Who are we? What we have forgotten? What is our occupation? What is our qualification? What's your qualification? IT engineer, something, something. Yes? IT professional. And we can go on asking, what's your qualification? What did you study? What's your training? What's your background? And you will tell me, right? That's my occupation or my... Yeah. So what's your job? What's your qualification? What is that you're looking for? Each one of us are looking for something different. That's explained in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2. Chapter 3, chapter 4. That's explained there. What you get from applying chapter 2, 3, and 4 is explained in chapter 5. What you get. You know, when you work after a month, after 15 days, you get your paycheck. Or you get the deposit in your account, right? So what do you get if you take to this process of devotion? It's explained in chapter 5. Right? Chapter 6 explains about your mind. I've been working in this field for some time, so a few years, right? So you're thinking. You can be the most handsome person, the most rich, and famous and influential. You can have won the elections. But if your thinking goes wrong, right? And that happens. You know, there are statistics. When people win the lottery, anyone familiar? People go and bet. No, I don't know how bad or good the betting is in this country. I have been living in Australia for a long, long time. So in Australia, a lot of people are addicted to betting, gambling. It's an addiction. There are counseling services, especially for people who are addicted to gambling. But the statistics show that those people who generally win the lottery, as we say, or win a lot of money by gambling, you know what happens? You know what happens? Anybody has any idea, any sense? Yes. Continue to play. Yes, they continue. Yes. They lose their money, and in the process, many of them lose their mind. Right? They lose their mind. Just go bananas, they say there. Okay? They go crazy. Okay? So, very important, in the first section of the Bhagavad Gita, chapters 1 to 6, you also, chapter 6 talks about your thinking. You know, we all have a mind, right? And we think. You know how many thoughts you have a day, according to some studies? 33,000, exactly. Every day, 33,000. Some people say 70,000, some people say 90,000. Sometimes I think, how do you count your thoughts? Huh? You have to go with a clicker. Every time you think something, tick, tick, I want bread, I want butter, I want milk, I want this. So many thoughts. Thousands of thoughts a day, thousands. All right? Sometimes thoughts takes us this way, sometimes thoughts takes us that way. If you want to learn about the mind and the process of thinking, you can read chapter 6. All right? Then we come to the middle of the Bhagavad Gita. What does the middle of the Bhagavad Gita talks about? I said that there are three lessons in the Bhagavad Gita. Who are you? Okay, what's your identity? Like, I have a passport, so my name is there, photograph, etc. The other one, the one that it's taught in the middle sections of the Bhagavad Gita, is where do we come from? Where do we belong? Right? Do we come from someone? Do we come from something? Do we come from nothing? Right? That's explained in the Bhagavad Gita, especially in the middle section, where Krishna comes in the scene and he explains, I am the boss. I am the supreme. Everything comes from me. Right? You are part and parcel of me. Right? In fact, we have a very intimate relationship, both of us. He's talking to Arjuna, but Arjuna represents us. Okay, that's explained in the middle chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. But that sounds very nice, right? I'm a spirit soul, I come from God, I'm part and parcel of Him, I have an eternal loving relationship, servitude with Him. That sounds very nice, yeah? But the most important part, the crucial part, comes at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, the last three sections, six chapters, the third section. What is the most expensive car that you can buy in this country? Anyone has any idea? Anyone car fanatic? Most expensive car? Any brands, mates? What? Porsche, Lamborghini?
Merrill.
Is that a new one? I never heard that one. Merrill. Right. Okay. So imagine that somebody walks in and says, Prabhu, you have won a car. Okay? So you're happy, right? You're happy. You want to use it for Krishna. You want to drive the Maharajas around, etc. You want to go for programs, right? Hare Krishna. You want to put in a bumper sticker. I'm a Hare Krishna. Krishna gave me this car. Good preaching. But there's a catch. You won't be given the key. Okay? You won't be given the key. You can have the car is going to stay there, but you cannot use it. So what's the point? You understand? What's the point? So the last section of the Bhagavad Gita teaches us how can we use to our best capacity this body. This is our car. It's a supercar. Can produce also mini cars. Multiply, reproduce. Right? How much you pay for your body? How old are you, Prabhu? You? 23 years old. Brand new car. There you go. Brand new car. Okay? Full of life. Nice smile. Right? I was saying just a couple days before that I went somewhere in India, South India. I'm living in Mayapur at the moment. And I went to have a dental implant. Oh, gross. Dental implant. Very expensive. Very expensive. In India, not too expensive. But here, it's very expensive. Australia, very expensive. Cost me a lot of money. One. How many you got for free? How many teeth you have? 32. How much you pay for it? Nothing. Yeah, so that tells you. This is a brand new car you're given for free. How much you pay for air, for sunshine, moonshine? Huh? Moonlight. Rain. How much you pay? Nothing. If you don't pay taxes in this country, what happens? IRS. Ay-ay-ay. Right? You're in trouble. You have to pay taxes. So, if we make some numbers, calculations, it would appear that we need to pay something for what we got. We got a free 32 set of dental pieces, right? You know how much it costs to have a liver? I haven't had a liver transplant. But if you want to have a liver transplant or a kidney transplant or a heart transplant or something of that sort, it will be very expensive, isn't it? Very expensive. Krishna is giving you a brand new set of all these things. And it appears that you don't have to pay anything. So the last section of the Bhagavad Gita talks about that. How to use this body for the best cause. And how to achieve perfection. The three sections of the Bhagavad Gita basically teach the same thing. How can we become perfect? And what does it perfect mean for you? What does perfect mean for you? Madam, if I ask you, what is perfection for you? It's not a million-dollar question. You can tell me whatever you think. Healthy. Good. Perfection means to be healthy. Thank you. What is perfection for you?
My natural state.
Would be? Liquid, solid, semi-solid?
My real nature.
Which is? I don't know. Vapor? What is your real nature? In relationship with Krishna, like a fish in the water. Okay. Perfection means something maybe slightly different from each of us. Krishna explains that perfection means to go back home. Right? That's perfection. Go back home. We all are looking for love. We all are looking for shelter. We all are looking for health. Happiness, satisfaction, that's the natural thing. And when you don't look for health, happiness, satisfaction, what do? You look for a counselor. That's my job. That's what we're going to do. So we don't have much time, but we will do something really useful in learning Bhagavad Gita. I want to tell you something. This is called self-disclosure. I'm going to disclose what's my motive saying what I'm saying right now. I want to encourage you, for not saying challenge you or daring you, to read this book, Bhagavad Gita. Okay, many, many moons ago, as they say, I read it when I was a youngster. 4 days, long weekend. Like, you know, we had, what was it? 4th of September, what was it?
Labor Day.
Where you shouldn't work. Labor Day. There was something like that. And I read the book in 4 days. You know, because my friend, my best friend challenged me. He says, if you have any intelligence, read this book. He challenged me that. And competitive as I was, I took it up and I read it. And it was a mental wrestling match with what I was reading. I was reading that I come from a blue boy that plays the flute. This is too crazy. I mean, I've done crazy things in my life by then, but this was just way, way far out. Maybe for those of you that have an Indian background, maybe this is a little simpler to accept or understand because you heard it. I never heard the word Krishna before. I never saw an image of Lord Krishna before. But there I was reading, focus, fixated, 4 days. And by the end of it, my life was ruined. All my projections, my house at the beach, my different dogs and artifacts, you know, and all the dreams that I had, you know, they were finished. So, this should be an encouraging class because it's Sunday feast. So you have to, you know, give you a kind of a pep talk. And tomorrow, Monday, you remember, oh yes, this Prabhu encouraged me to go to work happily in natural constitutional position. So let's get to it. Let's get to work. Krishna is a person, and Krishna is a happy person. Have you seen any photo of Krishna a little unhappy? He doesn't need counseling. You see, he's smiling, always smiling. You know, Jagannath is this big smile. Yeah, you see him dancing, playing, you know. Sometimes he fights with some demons and things like that, but that's just the game, just like with children play like that. So he's a very happy person. So we can learn from a happy person. If you want to learn how to be rich, who do you ask? The homeless person or the rich person? If you want to bodybuild, right, then you ask from someone who's very stout and, you know, strong, isn't it? So Krishna is happy, eternally happy. So he claims. Let's check what he tells us in the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, we have a task, we have a challenge. We have just a few minutes to complete this, maybe 10 minutes. So this may be the shortest counseling session that you will heard about. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us 4 steps to achieve perfection in our relationship. And what I'm going to present is something that he tells in general to everybody and specifically to his devotees, but also something that we can learn from him to improve our relationship. Okay? Have you ever heard this before? You heard it, but maybe you didn't know that you were hearing it. Okay. Where's that verse? 34. Cool. Krishna actually says this lesson twice. And if you don't believe me, make a note. Chapter 9, text 34. And what's the other one? 1865, is it? 65? No, 66 is the surrender. 65. Yes, 65. So chapter 9, you have to buy the book. If you want to check, you have to buy the book. Don't steal it. Buy the book. It's just a few dollars donation. 9:34 and 1865. Okay, these are the 4 things that Krishna explains what makes a perfect relationship. And he encouraged us, he encouraged everyone to do these 4 things to establish this relationship. Okay, now we can apply them with Krishna. We should apply them with Krishna. And we can apply them with others. You know, we love the Father, we love the sons and daughters. We have to love each other, correct? As the Bible says. Huh? Yes or no? Or only we should love Krishna and fight with our brothers and sisters. That's not good, right? Father won't be happy. So these are the 4 things that Krishna says. And I want to say this just to prove that Krishna is a person and he's quite normal. Sometimes we think that God is something very distant and strange and esoteric. Krishna is a person like you and I. And these are the 4 things that Krishna says. First of all, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and if you disagree, please say so. First of all, Krishna says that, let's put it in this context, to have a good relationship, you have to think of the person. Yeah? You have to think of the person. You have to be conscious of the person. You have to know what the person likes and what the person dislikes. Yes or no? Right? I love you, but I don't care if you like it or not. That doesn't go well. So Krishna says the first thing, think of me. Okay? Think of me. Right? So does that make sense? Yes. Does that make sense? Think of me. Manmana. Because what I want to do is I want to demystify these verses and teachings. Sometimes, you know, because they're in Sanskrit and they were presented thousands of years ago, sometimes we have this understanding that that doesn't apply anymore. We're modern people. It's a modern country. And this doesn't, it's not, what do you call, applicable. It's not appealing anymore. But it makes total sense. If you want a good relationship with someone, you have to be conscious of that person. Think of that person. Okay? Krishna is saying, think of me. Think of me. First, listen. Okay? Second, this is Sanskrit. It sounds very, very deep and complicated, complex, philosophical. Sanskrit says, Bhavamat Bhakto, which means, become my devotee. We know this verse. Devotees know this verse. One of the most quoted verses from Srila Prabhupada. Become my devoted. What does that mean? Become my devotee. Devote yourself to me. Right? You can Google the word devote. Right? To devote. It's a verb. Action word. To devote means to commit. Yes or no? You devote. You're a devoted citizen. You're a devoted worker. Means you're committed. Devoted husband. Devoted wife. Devoted father or mother. Yes? I'm not making this up. It's a word. Devoted. And what it means is you commit. So lesson number two. If you want to improve your relationship, commit to it. Generally we have a paper. Right? Now I know it's running out of popularity. It's called marriage contract. Right? Right? Is on the decline. But the idea is that whatever it is you commit, I'm going to be your friend, I'm going to be your husband, I'm going to be your father, and I'm committed to it. That makes you a good father, yeah? Husband, friend, worker. I'm committed. So that's what it means. Krishna says, okay, think of me, be conscious of me, yeah? Be mindful of me. Be committed in this relationship. Does that make sense? Huh? Would you, if you are the boss of somebody, or if you are the husband of somebody, or the wife of somebody, wouldn't you, well, I don't want to promote other ways, but nowadays people live together, you know, de facto, they call it, right? Anyway, I don't want to promote liberal ideas here. I'm just mentioning. But you would like some commitment, don't you? If you have a friend, or you have a working partner, or an associate, you would like some commitment, yes or no? Right? You don't want your friend or your business partner to let you down. You wouldn't like that. So that's the second lesson. First, think of me. Second, commit. Yes? Third, this is a very interesting one. In Sanskrit, the word, it's matjayi. Matjayi means, who knows the Sanskrit? Worship me. Matjayi. Right? Again, those from India backgrounds, they know what worship means is. You do the plate, you do the dipa, and you know what worship is. Us Westerners is a little different. But basically, this is what it means. You see, when the priest here, it's worshiping Krishna, he's offering something practical. Yes or no? Incense, flowers, water, cloth, and other things. He's offering something. Then offer fruits and offer flowers and things. Practical. There's no such thing as you loving someone or having a relationship with someone and you never buy anything for them. Is there such thing? Huh? Wives know that? Husbands know that? Especially wives. If you forgot the birthday date, if you forgot the anniversary, someone is in trouble. You know that, isn't it? You cannot forget. You have to show your love, your commitment, your being conscious of this person in a practical way. Is that correct or not? Right? Right? Isn't it? So this shows that Krishna is a normal person. He's not something, abnormal, if we want to call it like that. Something that I cannot relate with. He's just encouraging us to understand what true relationships are. Be conscious of me. Commit yourself to. I mean, he's not saying anything different that we are already doing. The only difference is that he's encouraging to do it with him. Or with him also. You commit to other person. You are committed to your job. You are committed to your wife or husband. You are committed to your children. You are committed to this country. Right? When you come in, you are committed. You are going to pay taxes. You are going to follow the rules. You just do whatever you want. Is that right? You are committed. Whether by force or for whatever reasons, but you are committed. If not, you are in trouble. Simple. So, let's go through it. What was the first instruction? Think of me. Be conscious of the person, yes? Second, be committed. Be committed. Let's translate it into current language. Be committed. The third one? Worship. Okay. Do something practical. Right? Do something practical. Buy a gift. I love my son, I buy him something. I love my daughter. It goes on like that. You buy something for them, yes? You feed your children, you buy a gift for your loved ones, yes or no? Practical. I love my country. I pay my taxes. You do something practical. Love is not just something esoteric like that. It's practical. And the last one. This is crucial. Huh? And then we stop. The last one is Mam Namaskuru. Those who have been in India know about Indian culture, Vedic culture. You know, people say namaskar. Namaskar, you say, huh? Namaskuru. Namaskar. You know what namaskar means? Everybody says it, but not everybody knows what it means. Anybody has a definition of namaskar? Being respectful in general, that's what it means. It's respectful. Namaskar, or namaskuru in this case, it means basically two root words. At least this is what I learned. If somebody knows something different, forgive me. But this is what I learned. It comes from namaha. Namaha. Na means no. Na means no. Maha means ma. Mine. Yes. So when I say namaskar, what it means is not me. You. Namaskar. That's what it means. When we say namaskar, or when we go in front, namaha, like that, it means not me. I'm not the most important thing here. You are. I'm giving you respects to you. Right? You are higher. You are superior. You are my loved one. Yeah? I hold you up in respect, in love, in admiration. Right? Yes, it is that or not? Namaskar. Right? You consider the other person higher. If your child is hungry, you don't think twice. You will give him your food or her your food. Yes or no? Mothers know this, particularly. Fathers also, but mothers particularly. You know? So, number one, think of him. Number two, commit yourself to him. Number three, do something practical. And number four, show respect. You can think of the person that you love, you can commit, you can sign, you know, a number of papers, get them a stamp and everything else, have the rings, have the certificates, have the photographs, everything. Yeah? And you can bring them gifts. You can give them gifts and buy them new this and new that, and anniversary, birthday, New Year, all Christmas and all the rest, Diwali and all the rest. But if you don't follow the four rule, which is respect, right, then the relationship is destroyed. Is that right or not? I love you, but I'm going to beat you. I love you, but I'm going to disrespect you. I'm going to insult you. I'm going to mistreat you. I'm going to abuse you. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. So Krishna is not different in that sense from us. We all are looking for a perfect relationship, but we don't know how. So Krishna is teaching us that the primary relationship is with Him. We come from Him. He's our original Father. Everything comes from Him. Right? And the other difference that Krishna is presenting in the Bhagavad Gita is that a relationship with Him is eternal. Every other relationship, although I'm promoting, have a good relationship with your fellow relatives, friends, people around you. We're promoting that. The Hare Krishna is pro-good relationships. Yes or no? We want people to be happy and peaceful. One of the seven purposes of ISKCON, that we combinedly serve harmoniously the Supreme Lord. The Father is happy when the sons and daughters get along. At the same time, there's a difference because all our relationships are temporary. Right? Your 32 teeth are temporary. Sorry to break the news. Right? Are temporary. I know about it, you know. I'm older than you. But the idea is that Krishna explains in chapter 3 that if you do this, it's called sacrifice of life. That you leave your selfishness aside and become somewhat selfless to whatever extent or degree you can. Huh? You will obtain all what you require to be happy and prosperous. He explains this. Chapter 3, text 10. Read it. You have to buy the book first. Okay? Chapter 3, text number 10. If you do this sacrifice, you will obtain everything. You will obtain health, your constitutional position, your promotion, whatever else, whatever you want. And the final thing to conclude is that at the end of life, where are we going? Do you have a sense where are we going after we leave this body? Where are you going? Back home. Depends. Which home? Depends. You could go back home. Back to Godhead. The purpose is go back where we came from. Okay? So in the Bhagavad Gita we learn how to have a good relationship with God and with everyone else. Be thoughtful, be mindful of the people that you love, the people that you have a relationship with. Be committed to that relationship. Okay? Be practical. Show your love in a practical way. Buy something. Do something. Manifest that. Not only words. Not only songs. Okay? And the last one, most important, respect those who you love. If not, that love is going to be affected. And how many of us have experienced that? Those who are closest to you are the ones who hurt you the most. Yes or no? Those who are closest to you are the ones who hurt you the most. Okay, so we have to show respect. That's human life. Okay? Now, if we can apply that amongst ourselves and with Krishna, we achieve perfection. That is the definition of perfection as given in the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so we have to stop now. We are restrained by time. We have a few minutes, a couple minutes, for any questions or comments. You seem very perplexed. I thought I'm going to encourage you. You're going to end up with a happy face. But it seems everyone is too thoughtful or too confused by what I said. So forgive me, it was a little too different, off track. So I'm just referring to the fact that Krishna explains that he is a person and he likes to have a good relationship. And in order for us to have a good relationship with him, he's teaching us how to have a perfect relationship. Question.
You were mentioning about how we don't pay the demigods. You talked about how the rain comes without paying taxes.
Oh, right.
So there's that arrangement, you know, like we've had a lot of rain coming so that people were talking about why is it coming, you know, and there's a scientific explanation, you know, something about the cold front, hot front, high pressure, low pressure hurricane. There you go.
All right.
So, but they don't mention anything about being arranged or anybody, any kind of a god or demigod or anybody running that project. And at the after the flood, then the president gets asked everybody to pray for relief. But how do you deal with the people who run that department so that it preventive rather ineffective way it's been done?
How can we communicate to the rain department up there? Which one? The one up there or the one here? Down here? The one?
Real one.
The real one. Which is the real one?
Well,
the one down here or the one up there? I'm just
Want to know. According to the Bhagavad Gita, it starts off here with Krishna and then demigods.
Okay.
That's what I was asking about.
We have two options. We have two options. We have several options, actually, maybe more than two options. One option is that you can go and protest why they didn't do this and the canals, how the cities are done, and why don't you put more money into emergency services, etc., etc. And why did you increase the, compensation threshold and all that sort of complicated things. Too complicated for me. That's one way to do it. The other way is that you can approach the divine managers. It's called demigods. Demigods, right? And some people does pujas and jagyas and mantras and tantras and different things just to invoke their mercy. These are the, we call partial managers or administrators of the universe. We can also do that. And some people do that. Or we can go to the boss. We have the boss right here. You can go directly to the boss and pray to him. My dear Lord, if you wish, you can stop this. If you wish, it's your sweet will. And if you determine that this is meant to happen because people have to pay taxes in one way or another, if you don't pay taxes, what happens in this country? What happens? You can even go to jail here, right? Right? It's very serious. So, in the universal context, if we don't pay taxes, then we get punishment in the form of hurricanes and other things. Something is wrong there. So back to the essence of the answer is that the best way is to talk to the boss. Talk to me. And there is one very easy way to talk to him. What is that easy way? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Three words only, Hare Krishna and Rama. Okay, Hare Krishna and Rama. And the more you do that, the better things will go. That's the Shastra, in a very simple and shortened way. Any other question? We were talking about relationships and how can we improve our relationships with God and everyone else around us. Everyone's very quiet. Oh, good. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. So what we should do if we have a bad relation with a devotee? So if we are, in my case, I prefer to avoid, like not talk or not interact. So it so happened that somehow relationship gets affected by some things and we have some argument. So how do we do with a devotee?
Well, you can take the course. Next time we come around, you can give us your email address and keep you informed. That's one thing. Anyone has any suggestions for... What's your name?
Venkatesh.
Huh?
Venkatesh. Venkatesh.
Venkatesh. What a name. Shouldn't have conflict with that name. My name is Venkatesh. Any suggestions from the crowd? Any suggestion? What do you suggest, Prabhuji's? Huh? Kirtan, Prasadam. Any suggestions? Yes. Communication. You don't have nothing to do with Venkatesh, right? You don't know him? No? Okay, just checking. Or someone related to him, I don't know, indirectly. Having communication, thank you very much. You can help us to run the course next time. Having a good communication. So let's think about the four things. I don't know exactly your details, and I'm not giving free counseling. I have no time. Let's remember, think of the other person. Be conscious of what he or she likes or dislikes. That's number one. Number two, be committed. I'm going to go through this. Maybe it's a little hard. Conflict is an opportunity for growth. Conflict is an opportunity to improve our relationship. So let's not avoid it. Let's try to deal with it in a skillful way. You need the course. This, I'm just making advertisement. And number three, do something practical. Okay, there is a trick that we use in the training. Very simple, and it's in our scriptures. And you can apply it as well. Okay? There are six things that strengthen the love between devotees. You know them, right? Okay. The easy one, and that we're going to practice in I don't know, Prashad, it was already served, or it will be served later, no? Later. Yeah, okay, six. Okay, so, serve prashadam, give prashadam, and when somebody offers you prashadam, accept it with gratitude. Reveal your mind in confidence. You know, put your arm around that friend of yours and say, Prabhu, you know, you're a really nice person, but we're having a bit of a conflict. I want to sort this out. Let's try to sort this out. Open your mind. That's the second thing. And you also receive what he says. And the third thing, I mean, there are six things, but it has two parts each, so six. The third thing is, buy something for that person. I dare you, in front of everyone, with that person that you have a problem, some slight problem or misunderstanding, buy something, right? And warm them, win them over with your charm. It's not manipulation, it's shastra. Buy something, buy a little gift. Prabhu, no words. Sometimes men, we have difficulty expressing too many things. Women have no, they don't have that problem. They too many words. We have too little words. Okay? Buy something and give it to him or her. Just a gift. And let's see what happens. Mystic power. Okay?
So, Prabhuji, I understand that, but how you do when our own false ego has been affected?
False ego?
Yeah, so how you do with that? Like, our own false ego will not allow us to, like...
Jai, Hari Hari Bo. Radha Kalachandi Ki. Or how our false ego impede us from establishing good relationship?
I mean to say, if our own false ego has been hurt...
It's hurt. You're hurt.
Then how you do that?
Okay.
And we understand it's not good, like...
Uh-huh. Yes. So, the question is, what happens when your false ego is hurt? Right? There are a few things that you can do. One of the things is to understand that there is a reason why that happened. Right? There is no bad lessons in life. All lessons are good lessons. So there must be something that you did. That's one way. The second thing is that you can share that with someone. Like now you're sharing with 120 of us. I don't know how many are we here, but around 100 people. That's very honest from you and brave. You can confidentially share more with someone. You know, I'm hurt. Can you listen to me? And share confidentially that. Okay? But the most important thing, the most effective thing that you can do in order for you to heal, is to forgive. Okay? If you forgive those who hurt you, then your healing, it's accelerated. It's, you know, it's quicker. Boost. Like that. So practice forgiveness. Yes, your false ego may tell you, no, don't do it. You are such a great name, how can I forgive? This one has offended me. But if you practice that, let me try. Buy a gift. Pay obeisance. Write a forgiveness note. Talk to someone. read Prabhupada's books, and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Srila Prabhupada ki, Lord Pramanandi. Hare Bhagavan.